Blog Talk Radio.
The LaRusha Cain Show.
Hello, beautifuls, and thank you for tuning in to the LaRusha Cain Show on Living Out Loud Radio. I am excited to be with you. Yes, I am. Well, as always, I have my tea. I hope that you have your tea, your coffee, or your favorite beverage as we sit back and chat. Well, today, I just want to say thank you for tuning in. We have another listening audience, phenomenal co-host. I know I say this every week, but I do on today have another phenomenal co-host that you want to make sure that you tell your friends about. Well, let me just give you a little bit of information about this wonderful, beautiful, courageous, inspiring, motivating, life-changing woman. Yes, honey, she is every woman. Yes, she is. We have in the virtual green room Nadine Johnson, and she's sitting there watching virtual TV, checking her virtual phone, drinking her favorite virtual beverage as she gets prepared to come on live. Well, let me just read you a little bit of her bio. Well, she was born in Manchester, Jamaica, West Indies. Nadine migrated to the United States at the age of 13 to be reconnected with her birth mother. 5 years later, she became a single teen mother. As a young mother of three boys, she had a head-on collision with life that taught her many tough lessons. These experiences ignited a desire within Nadine to empower people from all walks of life. This desire took form into an organization, Love Seed Foundation, Incorporated, which she is the founder, and along with many volunteers, are able to reach undeserved, underprivileged communities here in the United States as well as abroad. Her passion is to share her testimonies and victories to encourage, heal, empower, and bring restoration to others. I told you, listening audience, that she is phenomenal. So, you know, I know that you have friends and family members that would love, love, love to hear her story, her testimony of how she's overcome, how she has taken, you know, her test and made a testimony. She has taken things that she's gone through, and she's not a victim, but became victorious, and she's helping other people to be the same. I know you need to hear her, but we don't want to just hoard her and keep her all to ourselves. We don't want to be stingy like that, do we? No, we don't. So at this time, I ask you to hit up your Facebook family and friends, your Instagram buddies, your Twitter, your tweets, and let them know that it's going down today. Send that text message. Send that email. Go in the other room and say, hey, we have Nadine on the LaRusha Cain Show, and you don't want to miss her because she has some great things that she's going to share with us. Well, you know, I'm not going to prolong our time together because I am uber excited to have her. And, you know, I've been promoting the show and sharing on my social media platforms about this phenomenal woman. And, you know, I have many guests that come on and, you know, their family and their friends and different people, they reshare the flyers. And, you know, they leave words of encouragement to the person that's coming on. But this, by far, has been the most interesting. And let me say it this way. You know, as soon as I put something out, you know, they're resharing, they're commenting, you know, encouraging her. And this is what it's about. We're a community. We're a family. We're supposed to be here for one another. We're supposed to be here to encourage, inspire, motivate, uplift. Yes, we are. This is why we do what we do. We don't do what we do because we have nothing else to do. We do what we do because we are called to do this. We have purpose. We have destiny. We're living out our dreams. We've gone through things. But like I said, we're not a victim, but we're victorious. So hit them up. Let them know. Yeah, you wanna listen in. You wanna, you know, come on through the internet. Are you going to call in and listen to this show on today? Because it's going to be phenomenal. Well, I'm not going to prolong our time together. Well, hello, Nadine. How are you doing?
Hello, hello. I'm doing well. How are you?
I am doing wonderful. You know, I'm talking to you. I have my tea this morning.
Mm-hmm.
I'm drinking, some would say gross what I'm about to say. I'm drinking turmeric tea. And I'm just relaxing, and I'm excited to have you with us on the Loresha King Show.
And I'm excited to be here. And first, let me say thank you so much for even having me on the show. It's such a pleasure to be here.
I just appreciate it, and I thank you for saying yes. And thank you for being willing to tell your story. And I'm looking forward to the listening audience learning more about you and who you are and what you do.
Okay.
All right.
Awesome.
You know, I do this thing, play this game every show. It's called Top Five. Mm-hmm. And Top Five, you know, I went to the movies. I say this pretty much every week. I went to the movies with my husband and two of my girlfriends, and Chris Rock had wrote, I think he had directed the show, a movie called Top Five. And he was in a room with these different comedians, and he asked them, who's your favorite Top Five rappers? Now, I'm not going to ask you, do you like Pac or Biggie? I'm not going to ask you anything about rapping. I'm not going to do that.
Okay.
But I do have five questions that I would like to ask you. Would you like to play the game with me?
Sure, sure. I would love to.
Okay. All right. Well, number one is, if you could be a fly on the wall anywhere, anywhere in the world, just listening into a conversation, where would you, little fly, be located at?
If I could be a fly on the wall, well, I'm a mom, so I think I would want to be somewhere where my children are that they're not supposed to be, just so I could listen in and hear what's going on. You know,
yes.
So I think that's probably where I would want to be.
Yes. That's a good answer, you know, because, you know, I have sons too, and, yeah, I want to know. Especially when they were younger. Mm-hmm. I want to know exactly what you said, who you talking to, and who you around. I need to know these things. Yeah. All right, well, question number two. For those that are unaware of this, what is your favorite color?
My favorite color, most people know, is chocolate brown. Chocolate brown, for some reason.
And why?
I don't know. It's just one of those colors. I'm very earthy. I love earth tone colors. So I pretty much love those fall colors anyhow. But my favorite, everyone knows chocolate brown is my signature color. I just it's just something about the color, the texture. I just love chocolate brown.
Oh, God. Okay. Well, my next question is, none of these are good things, you know, but if you had to pick which one you have experienced, which one would it be? Would it be physical abuse, emotional abuse, verbal abuse, or sexual abuse?
I would say verbal abuse.
Okay. And why?
I did share a little bit in my book about it. We'll talk about that later. But just growing up, you sometimes you just go through different things, and unfortunately, that's one of the things that I was exposed to.
Yeah. I do understand. You know, I've been there too. Some things in that area. Now, I'm going to ask you this now, because you're a girl, and I would like to know, growing up, what was your favorite doll?
My favorite doll? Well, to be honest, I never liked dolls. Funny enough, I loved stuffed animals, though, but I never liked dolls at all.
Okay, then what was your favorite stuffed animal?
I had a lion. I had a lion whose name was Leo, and I kept Leo. I had Leo until I was well in my 20s.
Love it.
Yes.
Okay. Well, number five is, if you could pick out of these, you know, one of these things to keep in your purse at all times, which one would you prefer?
Okay.
Lipstick? Eyeliner, lip gloss, perfume.
It would have to be the eyeliner, because most people know the eyeliner, though, is used for my eyebrows, because I'm always penciling my eyebrows. So that would be the one that I would have. Actually, I have two in every pocketbook that I have, so that's a must. So I always have my eyebrow pencil or my eyeliner, / eyeliner.
I have no words, because if you go in my purse, you will see about over 6 tubes of lipstick and about 4 lip glosses. Like, really, just carry one. But, you know, I don't know what mood I'm going to be in.
Right.
So you have to have, you know, what works for you. And you know, you have to draw those eyebrows in. So, you know, you don't want to walk around when they're not there. You know? And look some type of way. Well, I want to say thank you for playing Top 5 with me. This is a way to give the listening audience, opportunity to get to know you a little better outside of what you do, your personality, and for them to see and to engage in how you interact with others. So I thank you for sharing that with us. Well, we're going to jump right into the topic of, you know, conversation for today. You know, I remember being on social media, on Facebook, you know, for those that are like, which platform is she talking about? I was on Facebook, and we were talking, you know, about another particular subject. And I remember that day, and us interacting and sharing. And as the conversation progressed, and, you know, we had already talked about being on the show and, you know, eventually getting your bio. And I was reading that, and it was said, and I'm looking at it, and talking about born in Manchester, Jamaica, West Indies. And how eventually you migrated here to the United States.
Okay.
Being there in Jamaica and born and raised, you know, being born there and everything, what was that like? What was that for you? Because your mother was here. What was that like for you being there and your mother being here? What was that about?
Okay, so my mom came to the United States. I was about a year and a half when she came to live here. So, as a baby growing up, I grew up with my great-grandmother. Living with my great-grandmother, I enjoyed living with her. She was a fun, bubbly person, someone who's well-known, well-loved in the community. And by far, she actually raised most of her grands and great-grands for some reason. So I just happened to be fortunate to be raised by her as well. Jamaica, you know, as most, you know, if you've been there, if you've heard of it, it's a beautiful, beautiful island, of course. Growing up, I had wonderful friends. I had, you know, my family, we're very family-oriented. I'm from a town, a very small town in Manchester called Chantilly. And by the way, if you don't mind, let me shout out my Chantilly peeps are listening in, so I'm excited. Thank you guys for tuning in. But we're from a small town called Chantilly, a district called Chantilly, and it's up in the woods, up in the bushes. And even people in Manchester, funny enough, most people in Manchester, there are many people who have never heard of Chantilly because it's a very small town. But it's a great community. It's a loving community. Even now when I visit and I go back home, you feel the love. You feel the cheer. So everyone just, you know, just kind of come together. And it's just a community, the essence of what a community should be. So I enjoyed growing up in Jamaica.
That's great. So being there and your mother is here, we'll discuss, you know, reconnecting with her as time went on. And being there, being raised by your great-grandmother, share with us, because you said she raised a lot of the grandkids, great-grandkids, what are some of the core values that she instilled in you?
Well, one of the things my grandmother made sure is that we had a relationship with God. That was very, very important. It was also important for her that we attended school because my great-grandmother, unfortunately, she never learned how to read and write. So for her, it was a big deal. And you couldn't just go to school. You had to be the top of your class. You know what I mean? You had to come home with A's. And so these are things. And then you had, she taught us how to love people, love our neighbors, our community, you know. And so love, God, education, that type of thing, those are some of the core values that she placed in us. And, you know, that's what's instilled in us over the, and over the years, we've, you know, grown with that. Yeah.
Okay. You're talking about growing and with that. My thing is, you know, sometimes we grow up and we change our core beliefs, you know, system or pattern because of things that may have, that we have been taught that may not be true to us. So do you still hold true to the values that that were instilled in you as a child?
Yes. I can't always say it's always been consistent because, again, we grew, you know, I lived with her till until I was 13. Then I came here. I kind of transitioned. I went through my transition a little bit, you know. You know, you're used to a certain thing, and then you're exposed to other new things. And so for me, during those middle years, I kind of just branched out and wanted to do my own thing, you know, trying to find my way, trying to find out who I am, you know. So, but I would say, yes, it has come full circle. And so now I appreciate the value of what she has taught me over the years. Yes.
You know, I'm one of those, just like you, I was raised by my grandparents. My parents didn't raise me. I wasn't raised by my parents. And I moved with my mother, I believe, when I was 11 or 12. So living with my grandparents and their abundance of kids, because my grandparents had 12 kids, you know, and I felt like I was the 13th. It was such a beautiful time because, you know, I'm around family, I'm around love, you know, and you, and I was like you, was taught the value of family, the importance of family and God and education and all of those great things. So I just, you know, want to acknowledge your grandmother and, you know, I don't know if she's alive or she's passed on, but just acknowledge what she has done and the things that she has taught you and you being the woman that you are today because of your core beliefs. So I just wanted to say that. Well, you went to the, through the educational system, school, and West Indies. How is that like for those that are here from the United States that don't have a clue? There's like, okay, is schooling different there than here? So how is that like?
It's very different, actually. Jamaica, it's a lot stricter. It's very intense. I'll say this: when I came here, I was in the I went right into the eighth grade. But in Jamaica, the what I was being taught here in eighth grade, I had already, I was already taught that in fourth or fifth grade in Jamaica. So in eighth grade, with very little effort, I was automatically on the honor roll. And even when I started high school a year later, I was actually in ninth grade tutoring students in math who were in 11th and 12th grade. So the academia is a lot different than it is here, you know, in the United States. It's very, it's very intense.
My question is, if we could look at, because you talked about the academic aspect from Jamaica and here, if you had an opportunity to go into the classrooms and help the teachers in the United States, what are some of the things that you would pinpoint that you see could be a major problem in the educational system?
Okay. Funny you ask that, because at one point I wanted to be a teacher. And one of the things, I think, before we could get to whatever is happening in the classroom, I think one of the things that, the difference between Jamaica and here, I think one of the things that we, the approach, the way we, the teachers and the students, basically, it's the respect. Respect is one of the biggest things. When the students respect the teacher, it makes learning easy. It makes teaching easy. And so that's one of the things I would instill. I would talk, you know, if I was to go in a classroom, I would want to earn the respect of the students. I would want, you know, if I'm the student, I would want to earn the respect of the teacher. And so that makes teaching or learning easy. That's the first thing. And then, you know, I think the other things, they kind of come with a package, you know, encourage them to explore and, you know, tap into their little minds and their heads and find out what, you know, what they're thinking and allow them to explore and be creative and encourage creativity, encourage that to burst forward, and then you'll get them more engaged, you know. So I think those are the things that I would start with, you know, building that mutual respect for the student and the teacher, and then, you know, branch off and, you know, and allow them to explore their creativity, encourage them to study, encourage them, you know, to be the, all that they can be, and just push them and encourage them to do that.
Well, thank you for sharing that with us, because I believe the same thing that you believe too. And it's interesting that you said that you want to be a teacher, and so did I, until I realized I had three kids at home and to work with other kids. I just didn't want to teach. I didn't want to do that. I was like, I don't want to draw kids all day long. I don't want to do that. So what happened or what transpired that made you leave Jamaica and come to the United States?
Okay, so my mom was here, and so she had been here for maybe around 11 years at that time, and she desired to have both my older brother and myself both, you know, she wanted her children to come and live with her. And so she had made, you know, preparations for us to come, and so that's how come we were brought over to live with her. So,
okay, you know, the last time you saw your mother, I think you said you were one.
No, she left when I was a year and a half, and then I saw her one more time. I was 6 years old. She had visited Jamaica for 2 weeks, and so I had 2 weeks with her. And then the next time I saw her was when I came to live with her at I was almost 13, yes.
How was it leaving your grandmother who raised you there for you all the time, and now you're not only are you not in Jamaica, but now you're here in the United States with your mother? How was that transition for you as a 13-year-old?
Here's the thing. The interesting thing is that the paperwork for me to get here took about 2 years. A month before I was ready to transition to the United States, my grandmother passed away exactly 1 month before it was time for me to come to the United States. And though that was very hard for me, you know, that's someone who raised me. She was like my second mom. And so it was very hard. But then I think it made the process of coming over a little bit easier because I knew she was no longer there, you know, as opposed to I think it would have been much harder for me to leave her to come, even though I was very, very excited about coming to live with my mom. I wanted to get to know my mom. You know, every little girl wants to be with mommy. And so I was excited about coming to live with my mom. But at the same time, the other side, it's like I didn't want to leave my grandmother either, you know. That's my other mom, you know. So when she passed away, though, she passed away a month before. And during that month, I went to stay with my dad for a month. And so for me, it made it easier because, okay, my great-grandma is not here anymore. Okay, so then you know what? Okay, I'll go and I'll be with mom and it's okay.
Love it. So being here, you leave in grandma even though she's passed, and now you're here. You're 13 in a new place, new environment. What are some of the things that you found very interesting about being in the States?
So on arrival, the first thing I noticed, we lived in the Bronx in New York, and when we came in, and it was so different than Jamaica. You know, the buildings. The night when we came in, we lived in an apartment building, and I was, you know, when my brother and I came in, our first impression was like, our mom owned this huge building. Like, you know, we thought this was all hers, and so we were so excited. I was like, oh my God, we're living in a mansion, and then we realized that it was an apartment building. And then, you know, one of the things that was different for us, I guess, as we're adjusting, is we noticed that in Jamaica, everyone knows everyone for miles and miles and miles. You know, it's very community-oriented. And then we would live in the building, and for weeks and months, we either didn't speak to the neighbors, didn't really speak much, or we didn't know who they were. And it was like, you know, and they were literally right next door. So that was a transition. But that was one thing that we noticed that was different. But, I mean, pretty quickly, though, we did meet friends, and we did meet people, and we were able to adjust you know, with different friends. So it wasn't too bad. Yeah.
That's good. So now you're here, you're in school, you're in the Bronx, you're in your place with your mom, you're your mother and your brother. And how is that connecting as mother and daughter? How was that? Was it bumpy? Was it easy? Was it difficult?
To be honest, at first it started out, and then eventually at some point it did become bumpy, because I think as little girls we have these fairy tale expectations of what it will be like when I meet my mom and just these different things. And so initially it was a little bit bumpy. We went through some, you know, bumps here and there, and I think to compare my mom to my great-grandmother, you know, two different individuals, but the expectations of both were the same. And I think that's why, too, it caused a little bit, you know. But overall, you know, I came, I got to know my mom. She's, you know, she's a good mom. And I had a younger brother who was also here, getting to know him as well. My older brother came with me. He was here for a short period of time as well. And then just adjusting. It was a little bit bumpy. We had bumps here and there, you know, and then I guess, too, the fact that I'm a teenager, entering those teen years, too, that contributed to the bumps a little bit. So definitely.
Most definitely. Those years can be really interesting.
Yeah.
And complicated and challenging, you know, just period, without the moving from once, you know,
right,
from Jamaica to the United States. Right. So that, at best, you know, that's a bumpy situation. Mm-hmm. Now, what happened, because I'm looking at your bio, and it said 5 years later, you became a single mother. What happened in your life in that led to you being a single mom?
Okay. So, again, you know, from 13 up, I graduated high school. I was 17. And so I was 17. And during that time, you know, on a roll, straight-A student, that type of thing. And so during that time, I was definitely going through a lot of bumpy seasons with my mom. And so a lot of times I would go home from school, but I would hang out at the library. You know, I was a little nerd. So I would hang out at the library a lot. And so going out there, you know, that's actually where I met my children's father. And so that's where I would be. And so for me, you know, going there to do my schoolwork, my homework or whatever, that's where we met. And eventually at some point, you know, I got myself in a situation that, you know, at that point, you know, it wasn't expected. It wasn't what I wanted. But at the time, that's what happened. But one thing I wanted, you know, as I always believed, if I got pregnant, I'm going to keep my child. And so that was very important to me. So even when I got pregnant, it was very hard for me to even tell my mom. And what's interesting, and when I finally got up enough courage to tell my mom that, again, our relationship had, you know, we had a little bumps. We had some issues going on there. And so it was hard for me to come and sit and tell my mom that I was pregnant. And so when I finally got enough courage to say, I'm going to tell her, I was about 3 months pregnant then. I was like, I'm going to tell her. I was like, but I want to make sure that I'm at a point where she's not going to make me get rid of this baby, because I'm going to keep this baby. And so just when I got enough courage, like, you know, I forgot what time period, but like, say I'm going to tell her on Saturday, my mom came in the room and she said, guys, everyone come in the living room. I need to make an announcement. So we're like, sure. I'm like, okay, I'll tell her after the announcement. So my mom says, guess what, guys? I'm having a baby. And I was like, no, are you kidding me? It was like, but it's the one thing you didn't want to hear at that moment, because now there's no way I could tell her that I'm having a baby also. And so at 3 months pregnant, she was, I think she was probably maybe about 2 or 3 weeks ahead of me and something like that. And so it was like, now I can't tell her. You know, I can't tell her I'm pregnant. Mm-hmm. Now she's pregnant too. And so, you know, so I backed out and I didn't tell her. And I hid my, I was very mm-hmm. tiny back then. I was like 98 pounds. I was like so skinny. And I wore very baggy clothes. And no one knew. Unless I told you, no one knew. And so I hid my pregnancy for another 3 months. And then mm-hmm. 6 months had gone by. And at that point, I had turned 18 years old. And I had, at that point, I was like, okay, I'm moving out. We weren't getting along that well anyhow. And I said, you know what? I'm going to move out of the house at that point. And eventually I'll tell her. And I didn't tell her until mm-hmm. I was 7 months pregnant that I was having a baby.
Mm-hmm.
By then, my mm-hmm. stomach had popped out. Before I had no stomach, I was flat as ever. A month later, 7 months pregnant, all of a sudden I had what looked like about a 4 or 5 month stomach. And so when I came home and I told my mom, you know, she was weeks away from giving maybe about a month away from giving birth to her own son. And when I came home, and it was a very difficult period, I guess, you know, for both of us, because she didn't expect that. And then, you know, yeah. So, I always wonder, go ahead, I'm so sorry.
I always wondered
if she knew, because what's interesting, my friend, a friend of mine, was pregnant the year before, and before anyone knew, before she was shown, my mother looked at her and said, that girl is pregnant. So I always wondered, did she really know and just was in denial, or, you know, I was never really sure, but, yeah. Yeah.
You know, mothers be knowing sometimes, you know, and mm-hmm. I know it was a shocker, you know, finding out she mm-hmm. was pregnant and you're pregnant at the same time. So did she give birth to the baby, and what did she have?
She had a boy. That's my younger brother, and he's 23 now, yes. She did. She had a son, and then 5 weeks later I had my son.
So how is that now, uncle, nephew, born around the same time, did you allow the children to, you know, when I had my oldest son, I'm saying it this way, when I had my oldest son, it was only, I think, four of us at the time. Yeah, it was okay. Four of us. And my youngest brother, Christopher, had not been born. So as time went on, my dad comes to see me and say, hey, you're going to have another sibling. I'm thinking, hey, I just had a, you know, I have my own kid. What do you mean you're going to have a kid? And so it was interesting, because even though he is my son's uncle, my son looks at him like a cousin, or, you know, or something different. So how is their relationship, you know, being that close in age?
They have a really good relationship. They really do, and it's funny because my son he's 23. Both are 23, and then my son, he's much mm-hmm. taller. He's a bigger dude, and my son is a little, he's shorter. My brother is a little shorter than my son, but my brother will put my son in check in a moment. Like, listen, I'm uncle. You will listen to me.
Yes.
But they're really good friends. They have a great relationship. They hang out a lot. They do a lot of stuff together, and so they definitely have a great bond. They do.
Mm-hmm. That's good. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you had made mention of your book earlier. Can you give us the name of your book, and why did you feel the need to write your book?
Mm-hmm. So the name of the book is called Capturing Her Story. Capturing Her Story. And so that's the name of the book. And so I started writing this book back in 2014. And so, well, initially, I see that on your website, for example, you encourage people to journal a lot. So this book was actually a journal entry that, you know, evolved into a book. It wasn't really supposed to be a book. But I remember one morning I was going through, I had a really good job, and, you know, I had lost my job, and then I went on unemployment for like about 2 years. Back then it was like 2 years, and unemployment was expired, and so now I'm looking for work. I'm going everywhere, you know. I'm there are different jobs that I felt like I was qualified for. I would pass, you know, take different tests, and I know I'd ace the tests. And it seemed like the more I went looking for work, I just couldn't find work. And so I got to this place where I'm frustrated, you know. And during this time, I was volunteering at my church, doing different things, but I want to get back to work. I want to get back to working. And this one morning, I got up and I was just frustrated, and I said, God, I said, man, you know, supposedly everything that we go through, you can find it in the Bible. I'm frustrated, I'm tired, you know, and to add insult to injury, you know, it's one thing when you're going through and, you know, you don't just don't want anyone in your business. You don't need to know that,
yeah.
you know, I'm not working or that I don't have this or whatever. Because when I went out the doors, no one knew that I didn't have a job unless you really knew, you didn't know. And so
yeah.
it had gotten to the point where my phone got disconnected. And I mean, that happens. But then when my phone stayed off for like four months in 2014 and this time and period, something's going on. And so people started reaching out, is everything okay? So, you know, now I'm angry. God, now you have everybody in my business. Like, you know, it's one thing if the phone was on, they would never know. But now you took my phone too. You know, so I'm having a moment with God. And during those 4 months, one morning I just got so frustrated. And in my frustration, I went and I opened my Bible and I turned it to 2 Kings chapter 4. And for some reason, I read from verse 1 through 7 and I found myself in the story. And so it was about this woman, you know, this woman, she had a husband, just like myself. I have an ex-husband. She had a husband.
Mm-hmm.
She had two sons. And here it is, her husband died. And now this lady found herself in a position where she has a lot of debt. The creditors are coming to take her sons from her. And it's just a lot. She's overwhelmed. And as I read through the story at the end, I saw where she came out of the situation. So I said, wait a minute. She started out in the same position I'm in, and then but she came out of it. What were the steps she took to come out of it? And so I took my notebook and my pen, and I started reading, and I started journaling, and I started taking notes, and I said, okay, I'm coming out of this. And as I was reading and I'm writing, I realized that I remember that what she used, her instrument was oil. She had oil. She had a little bit of oil in her house, and the prophet instructed her to use the oil, and the oil is what got her out of debt. So I'm looking around, I said, okay, God, what do I have in my house? And I looked around, I'm like, there's nothing here, you know? And then he said, you like to write, you like to talk, you like to inspire, you like to encourage. Start writing. Start writing. Everything you're going through, start writing about it, start talking about it, start sharing with others, encourage others. And so I started to do that verbally over the phone, but then as I was doing it and people would share what they're going through, I would write it down. And so that's how this book came about, out of frustration, out of just trying to find a way out of the situation that I was in. And the more I would write, the more I kept writing, and then the book just flushed itself out. And then, you know, I started going from one story to the next, and then, you know, feeling really good. And then the Holy Spirit told me, he was like, no, wait a minute. You have more to tell. What about your story? Get your story between the pages. Start sharing. Expose yourself. And so he's allowed me to become transparent and expose some of the things that, you know, normally I wouldn't want to share. You know what I mean? But he allowed me to be transparent. And the idea is that the same way you're going through and you want help out of your situation, somebody else that's behind you needs that same kind of inspiration to come out of whatever it is that they're going through. So they need to hear your story. And so after the book was written, that's when the title actually came together. And I said, in the book, I just captured her story, not just my story, but the stories of the women whose stories I captured in the book as well.
I love it.
Mm-hmm.
I love all of this. And the reason why is because out of our frustration, so many great things are burst out if we dare. You know, like you said, you're frustrated, you opened the Bible, it went straight to her story, you saw how it happened, you saw the end result, and got encouraged and asked God, hey, what's in my house? And he told you what to do. A lot of times we want to jump from the beginning to the end and don't realize that there's a process in between.
That's right.
And there's some work that we have to do. But you said something, and someone called me, I think it was yesterday, and they were saying to me about something that I always say. I say transparent is the new parent. You have to be transparent. And I grew up in the time where you didn't tell your business, you know, and my grandparents were really, you know, adamant about you don't tell what goes on in this house. So how are you able, as a woman who grew up in the, you know, in the West Indies, you know, by your grandmother and all these different things, how are you able to get past all of the things that we say, don't tell that, don't share that, don't do that, this stays in our house, this is not something you tell. How are you able to push past that and say, hey, you know what, I'm going to talk about that anyway?
And so even I wrote about that even, and I mentioned it. I said, because when I felt inspired to share some of my story, Initially, I wasn't sure what to tell, and there's certain things I felt like, okay, maybe I'm not ready to tell that, or maybe I should tell this. And then, to be honest with you, even at some point, there's other parts that I felt like I could have told, but I said, you know what, in the interest of protecting those that I love, you know, it's not the season, maybe another season, you know. So sometimes deciding what to put in the book, I think a major influence for me was how much it wasn't, like, I'm not afraid to tell my story per se and expose myself.
Yeah.
But am I ready to expose everybody else too? You know what I mean? So you had to be sensitive to that. And so I was able to tell. So my thing is just being prayerful. So I said, God, how much will you allow me to tell? And what am I? And so pretty much he instructed me to tell, you know. And then you want to tell what's edifying, something that's going to build somebody up. Not while I'm building you up, I shouldn't be tearing somebody else down at the same time. You know what I mean? So I want to make sure that it's edifying. So the information that's there, when you read it, it's not to look at somebody and start scrutinizing somebody and say, ooh, such and such, this, such and such, huh? It should be like, okay, you went through that. That's what happened. Okay, you know what? I'm going through something similar. What did she do? Just like I did with the other woman. What did she do? How did she get out of debt? How did she get out of her situation? How can I use the same tools or similar tools to get out of what I'm coming out of? And so that's how I was able to, you know, decide what goes in a book and what didn't have to, you know.
You know, listening audience, if you are thinking about writing a book or doing any kind of project where you have to share bits and pieces of your life, and you know that it may not be, you know, politically correct or tasteful, or it could be hurtful to someone else, maybe just gave us information on what to do, you know. And she said she prayed, and she asked, what should I say and what should I give? You know, because you do want it to be edifying. We don't want it to be junky, you know. We have a lot of those. I'm going to sip tea. Yeah, we want it to be edifying. And, you know, and because of your obedience, look at what happened. Mm-hmm. Look at what happened. And God was glorified by that. And you didn't trash somebody to make a profit.
That's right.
You held on to your character and your integrity. And sometimes people sell their soul for a dollar, you know, in a crisis. And you really learn who a person is during a storm. What's in you will truly come out of you.
That's right.
So I'm looking again, and it talks about how you had a head-on collision with life that taught you many tough lessons. But this, you know, these particular lessons ignited something within you. And an organization was birthed out, Love Seed Foundation Incorporated. Can you tell us a little about it? What is it?
Sure. So Love Seed, I'll step back for a second. So as a single mom, and when I moved at 18, I moved out to live on my own and stayed with some friends, you know, for a short period of time. Then I moved in with my children's father. 2 years later, I found myself in the shelter. And going through the shelter was a very, very difficult period in my life. I stayed there for 3 months. I got employment, and then I went and found work, went back to work, and worked my way up. About a year later, lost my apartment again, lost my job, ended back up in the shelter a second time. Then maybe a year or two later, no, about 3 years later, I met this wonderful man, had another baby, got married, and about a year later, he got arrested. He was taken out of the home, and then now I'm back in the shelter a third time because now I'm in college. I'm holding on to college. I'm working, paying babysitter for daytime for work and nighttime for school. And it was just so much going on in my life at the time, and I couldn't maintain financially. Ended up in a shelter a third time, three times. And so because of my experiences, because of what I went through, the hardships, the different things that I went through, and I was just stubborn, you know, I'm going to make sure I do everything that I can to make sure I take care of my children. I'm going to make sure that no matter what, I'm going to finish school. I'm going to work. I'm not, you know, I was never the person to sit at home and just be lazy and just do this and do that. It's like I'm going to do everything because I wanted to be that good example to my children as well, you know. And so going through all of this, years later, you know, I was volunteering at my church. I work with the young people. And I remember, matter of fact, it was 2 years before I wrote this book. 2 years before, I was sitting at home, and I remember it dropped in my spirit, like, I should do a summer camp. You know, I was going through a transition then, too. And I said, okay, maybe this is actually was at the beginning of that season when I was going through unemployment. So I was looking for work. And I said, maybe I should do a summer camp because I do so much with the young people at church, and I like going on trips and doing this and doing that. Maybe I should do a summer camp out of my home. And I started with that. And, you know, and I said, and, like, it dropped in my spirit to do it, actually. And I said, okay, I'm going to do it out of my home. And the host was like, nope, not at your house. I was like, maybe I should do it at church then. So I started working towards doing it at church. And again, it was like, no. Come to find out, it dropped it in my spirit, do it in Jamaica. 2 years before that, I had some barrels of toys and did like toys and different things and candy and just little things here and there for the kids in Jamaica for Christmas. I just packed two barrels. I was going for a wedding and then sent them over to Jamaica and said, here, just distribute it at the local church. Just give it out to the kids, toys and candy and different things. And so when I did that, 2 years later, not knowing that was going to come back, and now the Lord is dropping it. Why don't you go to Jamaica and have a summer camp there, have a program there for the young people there. And so there's a young lady, a good friend of mine, that, you know, and a couple of other people, we started planning. It's like, you know what, we're going to go to Jamaica. Now, this is a time I'm not even working, and I have this idea to go do this wonderful work in Jamaica, you know. And so this one young lady, she came with me. And for 2 weeks we went and we conducted a 2-week Bible school, vacation Bible school, where we taught the kids every day. Every day we had about 150 young people and parents that would come out. And we would teach them, you know, we would do different arts and crafts and different things with them. And we did that for 2 weeks, and it was such a faith walk because we really didn't have the resources to do it. And it was every day. I was telling someone the story recently how we went down with $500. Like, now our budget is like 10 times that, but we went down with $500 at the time to do a work that obviously costs a whole lot more. And so we would go in today to feed these kids, 150 kids. We have to feed them. And at the end of the day, we're looking at each other like, wait a minute, we're out of money. We're out of food. How are we going to feed them tomorrow? And every day we would go back home from camp, somebody would inbox me and say, hey, I sent you $100 to your account. Go check it. The next day, somebody would say, hey, I'm Western Union, $100 to you. Hey, what's your account? I'm sending you some money. So every day was a faith walk. At the end of each day for those 2 weeks, we didn't know how we were going to feed these people. It was a faith walk, but we trusted God because He sent us out here to do this. And I promise you, every day we went, they ate. They didn't even know we didn't have the money, you know, because every day they came, they were fed, they were satisfied. And at the end of 2 weeks coming back to the United States, all we could do was break down and cry and just talk about the faithfulness of our God. Sent us in another country to do a work without, and initially we didn't have all the resources we needed, but we trusted Him. And every day He showed Himself faithful, every day. And we came back, and eventually that's when we stemmed off and said, you know what? Let's think of a name, and we started putting the name together, and we came up with the name Love Seed Foundation. And LOVE is actually an acronym for Leadership, Opportunity, Vision, and Empowerment. And that's what we want to go, you know, and empower the people that's there. As we go, we empower them. We want to share our own stories and our testimonies and encourage them to come out of the situations that they're doing. Eventually, we expanded here in the United States. Now, we go out and we feed the homeless. We bring them clothes and toiletries. We go into the shelters. We go into the senior centers. And, you know, we reach out to different populations and just, you know, anywhere we could be a blessing, you know, we're out there blessing people within the capacity that God allows us to do.
Mm-hmm. I love it. See, again, through difficulties, hard times. You know, purpose was birthed out, and I love it. I love how God sent you back to be a blessing and how He made a way for you to be able to feed them. You know, even when you ran out of money, all the great things that God has done and is doing in your life and in your business and how He has proven Himself faithful to you. And, you know, for someone that has gotten inspired and said, oh, my God, I love what she's doing, how can they reach you if they would like to donate or just to learn more about Love Seed Foundation?
Sure. So Love Seed Foundation, they could email me, njohnson@loveseedfoundation.org. So njohnson@loveseedfoundation.org. So they could definitely shoot me an email. We definitely respond. We also have a Facebook page. then it's the same name, Love Seed Foundation, where you actually go on and you'll see pictures and videos from all our previous years of doing the outreach. This year coming up is actually our sixth year conducting the outreaches in Jamaica. So you could go on, you'll see the videos, you'll see the pictures. If you want to reach out to us, go to you could email me at njohnson@loveseedfoundation.org, or you could even inbox me on Facebook, or even on my own personal page as well, Nadine Johnson. You could inbox me as well, and I will definitely be in contact with you.
Yes, please do. She is doing a mighty work, and, you know, and I understand, you know, God makes a way, and we have resources and, you know, and different things, but I feel like that it's always good to help someone else, and especially when we're going through hard times, is, you know, we should, that's when you need to step up even more, because in our hard times, God is always faithful. He shows himself mighty and strong, and he'll show us what it is in us that he has called us to do. But if you would like to buy her book, Capturing Her Story, I know that it's on Amazon, but is there any other outlet for them to be able to purchase it as well?
Sure. Like Lady LaRusha says, it's on Amazon, and they actually have a sale going on for 71% off. So you're getting a book that is valued at $13.95, but it's on sale today for only, I believe, $4.09 or something like that. You're limited four at that price, though. But for $4 and change, you can't afford not to get it. So definitely check out Amazon. It's also on Barnes & Noble and several other platforms. I think eBay also has it. You could also get the digital download. You can get the paperback, it's $4 and change on Amazon, and then there's a hardcover copy, but if you prefer the digital copy, the Kindle version, that copy is also $9.99 on Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Look, Mother's Day is coming up. I'm not going to jump on my soapbox, so I'm going to make it very quick. I'm a mother 365 days of the year, so I'd be telling my kids, hey, I understand Mother's Day is coming, but I'm a mother all the time, so if you want to bless me other times, go ahead. But Mother's Day is coming up, and her book, Capturing Her Story, would be an excellent gift to give someone, to be an encouragement to someone that's going through, I have gone through, to share their story, to open up, to live their best life, to not just exist. And this will be a great blessing to someone. So she has shared with you where to purchase her book at, and go and get it. And it is on sale. You cannot beat that price. You cannot beat that price. Well, you know, you have that. That you have three sons, and we didn't even get an opportunity to acknowledge them. So at this time, if you would like to give us their names and, you know, a little bit about them, you're more than welcome to.
Sure. So I have three sons. I have Andrew, he's 23, and then I have Shamar, who's 21, and my youngest, he just turned 16 a week ago. He's actually celebrating his birthday today, so after this, we're going to go out and celebrate his birthday. So my youngest is 16, and then I also have this wonderful little man who just turned one, my grandson as well. So I just want to shout them out, and I love them, and they're my inspiration. You know, behind everything that I do, they're my inspiration. I'm always fighting to do more and be more because of them, because I always want to be that example, because I always tell them, I said, listen, wherever I set the bar, you have to go above and beyond that, you know.
Yes.
So they're my inspiration. So yes, absolutely. Yes.
I love that. Love that. Now, today's your 16-year-old son's birthday?
Well, it's a week later, but he's celebrating today. Last week we did grandbaby, so this week is his weekend. So, yes.
Okay, because I was getting excited. Today is my oldest son's birthday.
Oh.
And he's a whole 32, you know.
Okay.
That's how you're getting old. He's just getting old. You're making me look younger, and you're just getting older. He's a whole 32 today. So, just, you know, so when I finish with you, I'll be connecting with him as well to see what 32 has transitioned into for him. So, you know, mother of three sons, you have three sons, you have a grandchild, and I have seven. I have a tribe. So I understand.
Yes.
You know, it's, I'm at the time in the show that I hate, and it's the time oh my God, did I have to let you go? I don't want to let you go. You know, because there's more for us to talk about and to share. So, you know, I've got to have you back so we can continue this conversation.
That would be awesome.
You know, where, you know, to help empower women that are going through life transition, what can they do? So we'll talk so we can have you back on the show in the near future to continue this dialogue. Well, again, I'm going to ask you to give them your website, social media information, and if they would like to contact you or to learn more about you or have you to come in to be a speaker at one of their events.
Sure. So, okay, so if you're interested in the book, Capturing Her Story, again, it's on Amazon, it's on Barnes & Noble. Also, if you want information for me to come out and speak or, you know, if you're interested in having me at one of your events, you can email capturingherstory@gmail.com. Again, that's capturingherstory@gmail.com. If it pertains to Loveseed, the email for Loveseed is njohnson@loveseedfoundation.org. You can find both Capturing Her Story as well as Loveseed Foundation. There's a page up for either one, so you could definitely go on there and check us out. And, of course, my personal Facebook, I'm there a lot, probably too much, so you could always inbox me, and you'll get me, and I'll turn around and respond to you within no time. So.
Yes, thank you so much. Listen, audience, Nadine Johnson, her passion is to share her testimonies and victories, to encourage, heal, empower, and bring restoration to others. And she has accomplished that, and she's still walking in it. And I would behoove you, you know, to, you know, buy the book, hit her up, and to learn more about her foundation and what she's doing and link up with her because she is doing some great things. Nadine, I thank you for being on the LaRusha King Show, and I look forward to connecting with you again in the near future.
Okay. Thank you so much, Lady LaRusha. Thank you again for having me on the show, and I so look forward to being on the show a second time. So thank you again. Thank you, everyone, for listening, and thank you even for the support going out to get the book and for reaching out regarding the foundation. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, it's that time I hate. It's the time I have to let everyone go. But I want to say thank you for tuning into the LaRusha King Show on Living Out Loud Radio. To continue the chat, follow us on our social media sites. We are on Facebook and Instagram. Or if you would like to be a guest on our show, you can leave us a message there as well. As always, I want you to be encouraged. I want you to be inspired, motivated. Know that you are the designer's original. There is no one in this earth like you, no one that can do what you do and how you do it. So today, be bold. Stand in your truth. Speak your truth. Stand in your space. Own it. God has placed you here in this time and season to do something great. You know, when Moses was born, he was born in a time of adversity, and we understand his story and how eventually they had to put him in the basket and in the Nile River, and we understand what happened, you know, who found him and how he was raised, and we know that the story of how he left, but he returned, and God worked miracles through him, and he became a deliverer for the children of Israel. God did great things because the man Moses was obedient to do. And I say today, be bold, be obedient, and do what God has called you to do, just like Nadine did, just as Moses, and just as others. All right, I'm signing off. Until next time on the LaRusha King Show on Living Out Loud Radio, continue to always have a phenomenal day. Talk to you later. Be blessed.